this morning is from the Gospel of St. John, and it's verse 9, reading from verse 1. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Then we go to verse 35. There's a bit in between which, just to put the next bit into context, the man goes to see the Pharisees. The Pharisees take him in to question him. Spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This is the word of the Lord.
A well-known passage. Just a bit of a sidebar, set the scene. Jesus is going into Jericho. The second Jericho, not the first one. The first one is a couple of miles further back. This is the new one, which is a Roman spa. That's interesting to take home. If you haven't learnt anything else, you now know there were two Jerichos. One Joshua wrecked, and the other one the Romans put up. The other interesting thing, there are only 8 people in the Bible mentioned as being healed of blindness. There must have been more, that's the consensus, because Jesus is one part of the Bible where the crowd followed Jesus and he healed everybody. So there probably weren't other people. Only 8 are mentioned, but only one is named, and that's Bartimaeus. And that's the most famous one we know about, isn't it? Now, the interesting thing about this is that Jesus is the only one who did miracles where he healed blindness and made people see. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? He was the only one who allowed people to see and cured their blindness. Worth remembering. Because in the beginning, God created man and woman and gave them senses. Now, that's what we're talking about. There was ears to hear, touch to identify things, sight to see, taste to enjoy your food, etc., and smell to experience the fragrance of flowers, although I don't know what Carol's going to talk about next week, or when she does it. but they're the senses we're dealing with. Now, today, we're dealing with sight. God gave us eyes to see, but it's interestingly enough, you can't see God. The end of Exodus 33, Moses is told, "You cannot look on me and live. You will die if you look on God." Now, that opens a bag of worms, and I'm not going to open that. I'm not going to develop that one for you. But that's what it says. However, you can see Jesus, the Son of God. And off we go. Anyway, one day we'll see God, because that'll come on later on, but it's not yet, hopefully, for most of us. The other thing is, when we look at creation, we see a myriad of textures. Now, our eyes are doing this all the time. We've already seen how much information they can take. And when we, I don't know about you, when I sit in our front room, I was looking out of the front window yesterday, and there's 7 different shades of green. Just in that one bit of a garden. 7 different shades. And your eye detects them and tells the brain, that's the colour of that one, that's the colour of that one, that's the colour of that one. God's creation, whatever you think about it, is absolutely spectacular. Now, I know people say that it's all come through evolution. I won't develop this because I've looked into this a lot, but it's interesting to note that the hedgehog still crosses the road. So it's not learned a lot, has it? Evolution, the hedgehog's been around thousands and thousands of years, and it still hasn't learned not to cross that piece of tarmac. But anyway, but Ord had a saying when we were out one day, I may not own everything I see, but my Father does. It's his creation. And it's his creation that we live in. We are each. Do you know there's not an identical person in here to the person next? Every one of you is individually made. The potter ditched, well, he certainly ditched a model of me, didn't he? He goes, I'm not having 2 of them roaming around. So he smashed that and threw it in the bin. But none of us are the same. Isn't that fascinating? Yet our eyes detect the differences. And the other good thing about our eyes, for those who believe, we can see the Holy Spirit in people. We can see Jesus in people. Our eyes detect it because the Holy Spirit that lives in us initiates the Holy Spirit in them. And you actually see, and we've all come across these people, haven't we? People who you can safely say, Jesus lives in that person's life. It's the way they are, it's their manner, it's everything about them. It's really, really good. Now, it's true that some people suffer from spiritual blindness. And this is true. And in John 5, 30, verse 39, Jesus actually says to the Pharisees, the people who should have known everything about Jesus, you search the scriptures, but you still haven't got the point. You've missed it completely. And there are people like that who, they don't read the Bible, they've never read the Bible, but they will condemn it and say it's a load of rubbish. But if you, I mean, the Bible is a great book. If you want bloodthirsty rape, pillage, and everything else, read the Bible. It's in there. Start at the beginning, oh dear me, you know, apocalyptic. But at the end of the day, the last bit of the book is about love. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. That's what he wants us to do. Now, speed reading is one of the biggest problems that people have when their eyes are reading through it, of missing the point. Now, I know this from personal experience because I got a good working knowledge of the Bible before I started the Thursday group. But then when I started the Thursday group, and the group will tell you this, because I then stood it word for word and put it into context, now I suddenly found there's a whole new Bible in there. Because it just opens up so much. One word sometimes has changed the entire context and developed so much discussion because taking it slowly, you find so much in there. Things that you hadn't seen before. Why your eyes don't do it, but your eyes don't let you see it because you go, oh, no, this is, you get to this bit where Anne's just read, oh, that's about blind Bartimaeus. Jesus walked past him, healed him, and that's it, off he goes. That's it, you're on to the next bit of the chapter. Without looking at it and taking in what it is. The other thing that happens is we lose sight. This is all about sight. We take our eye off the ball. Now, this can be for many reasons. Sadly, sometimes it's because of conflict with the characters in the church, which makes people leave churches. That's because they took their eye off the cross. If somebody upsets you in here, my advice would be go out to the nearest pub and have a drink. You probably don't like that, but that's what I do. People do sometimes get up your nose. We can't avoid that. It's like being married to a husband and wife. Sometimes your wife gets up your nose, isn't it? And it's vice versa. Okay, and it's just life. How you handle that dictates what your eyes are seeing there. When you argue, unless you've got to be honest, we do have disagreements with your wife or anybody. But when you look at your wife, particularly two couples who have got Jesus living in them, you look past the argument, over the top of it, because behind what's being said, you see Jesus, because your spirit looks at her spirit, and hers looks at you, and you just have a laugh about it, and you do as she's told you. You know. My wife's favourite thing was, we had an argument one day, and I told her not to shout at me anymore. And she said, I will continue to shout until I get my own way. Yeah, it's like, okay, but taking your eye off the ball. And this again, it's sight. You've got distracted and you've lost the vision. And that's the other thing that happens in churches, isn't it? They lose the churches. They lost sight of the church's mission. This particularly happens in America, but it does happen in this country a little bit, where they think that bigger is better. You have a church of 2,000, it's absolutely great. I think it's awful, because you don't know anybody. But then again, it's like, I mean, if you have a church of 400, I'll say 400 because I can work the maths out, but if you have a church of 400, why not split it up to four churches of 100 and extend the church's mission? The mission is to take Jesus into the local community. Keep sight of the mission. Now, we plod along nicely, but Jonathan happened to say, only the other week, he's never been in a church that's had so many different people come in to it. A constant, steady flow of people searching for Jesus. And that's from Jonathan, our minister. He's astounded how he looks around sometimes when everybody's here. I know everybody's not here at the moment. And he thinks, who's that person? They've come in. Who are they? But his eyes again are focusing on people and seeing what they're like. Now, the other thing that we just need to have a thing out, the church's mission. See, it's not much to talk about, is it? It's on there. It's tramline Christians. Now, for someone learning, tramline Christians look down there. They're on tramlines. They don't look out there. Because there's a whole world outside there. Now, I'm not disputing what's in the book. Don't get me wrong. But if your vision is there, what's happened to the people out there? They're not getting included, are they? You're missing them out. Now, one of the big, a quick definition of this would be, is people who read this and try to apply first century laws and regulations to 21st century people. In those days, a woman was commodity. I'm not being rude, she was. You could just get rid of her, sell her, exchange her for a horse or a car or something. No education. But it's different today, isn't it? Women are educated. She's got more education qualifications than I've got on my foot. But at the end of the day, that's the way it is today. We're all equal. And that's the way Jesus wanted it, isn't it? We're all equal. And you should never tramline this book, because you must remember one of the books I've got, which is Reading the Bible for All It's Worth, tells you, one of the first things it tells you is, don't try and apply everything in the first century to the 21st. Computers, Facebook, etc., and AI did not catch God on the hop. They're not something he suddenly woke up one morning and said, picked up the Daily Mail, AI, what's that about? He knows about that. He knows about all these sort of things, because that's what he does. But the other thing is that happens with this is, eyes. We have eyes in our heads. And when you're a Christian, those eyes will see if something's beneficial or if it can be discarded. And the other thing you need to remember is, you normally, your wife normally has this in her hand, the remote control. There's a red button on it. Off. Change the channel. You don't have to watch things that you don't have to watch. If your eyes are picking something up on the television or on Facebook or something like that, or wherever, I don't do Facebook or anything like that, but if it is picking up on there and it's hurting your eyes as a Christian, you know it's not. You know what's being hurt, don't you? The Holy Spirit. Get rid of it. Disregard it. Because it's not beneficial. Only need to worry about things if they're beneficial. Our eyes, the only other good thing is that there's several things, but the eye helps us see people in distress. And it also initiates hope for that person, because it can initiate you to go and talk to that person, pray for that person, or help them. Our eyes never hold back. Our eyes see sadness, love, setbacks, hopes and dreams. But everything is buckled together with Jesus' hope. Sadness is often around the corner for us. We can't avoid it sometimes. But if you believe in Jesus, you know that he knows what you're feeling like inside. And he knows what you need to get you back on your feet. And it may be difficult, but fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And that will ground us into what we need to see the world around us as it falls apart sometimes. We must remember that Paul, who wrote Acts and things like, and all the letters that come around, was once blind. He hated the church. Jesus stepped into his life, made him blind, then sent Ananias around to him to make him see again. But Paul then realized all that religiosity he knew in his life was wasted, because it had missed the point. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for all these years. And now he's here. And when Jesus, and don't forget, when Jesus said to Ananias, get round there, and Ananias said, sorry, not for me, not today. Jesus said, this man who hates me with a passion is going to take my message to the world. And Paul then had seen something that many would love to have seen, but he had an encounter with Jesus. And that took him for the rest of his life to go around telling the continent about Jesus. I've said this before, so I'll say it again, it doesn't matter. He didn't go in synagogues throughout all Asia and all that lot, the diaspora as it's known, telling people about God. They knew who God was. They were all Jews. You see, when you read this, you realize who he's gone out to tell the world about. He goes out to tell them about Jesus, doesn't he? That's what he does. My hope is in no one less than Jesus Christ, that's righteousness. That's what it's about. That's what Paul's message is. That's what our message is. That's why the name of Jesus to us is so, so important. As we read the Bible and our eyes go over the words, may the Holy Spirit highlight the words we need to see. In here you'll find hope when you're broken. In here you'll find the answer to any sort of problem you want. Whenever you move house, take it to Jesus. He'll find your house. It does work like that. It's quite straightforward. And let him highlight the message that he wants you to see. I'm going to finish with this. And Jesus talks of people being in darkness. It is not midnight darkness. The darkness Jesus is talking about is masquerading as light. We need to be aware. Our eyes need to recognize when they see things that aren't right, or someone who is not right. Darkness Jesus is talking about is when darkness is masquerading as light. A perfect example of that, I can say this without contradiction, is the head of the Russian nation. Do you know where he is this morning? He's in church. Yeah, the wonderful person. Darkness masquerading as light. And what we need to do throughout life is keep our spiritual eyes open, on the ball. Keep the mission ahead of you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You don't have to walk around like some sad person. You don't see Christians walking down the street. They're looking at the pavement, looking for money. And that's what it looks like. We have everything. We've got Jesus in our lives, and we should really take the best of it. But what we need to do is keep our eyes open to avoid the snares that are out there to trip us up. The pitfalls. When someone calls your faith into question, speak to someone who's got feet on the ground, who's going to give you an honest answer about it. Because if you get an honest answer, you'll find that one of the things that'll happen, you'll become a believer. Because once your feet are anchored in solid scriptural truth, and you put the truth before them, there is nowhere else to go. I've finished now. I have, honest. That's it. The message was, at the end of this message, in all that...
The word is
amen. Is it?
Yeah.
All right. What word's that? The message is, don't forget, don't fall into the trap of darkness, spiritual darkness. Don't get blinded by things. But always keep your eyes open to avoid the snares and traps that this modern world puts out for us to get caught in. Amen.